Welcome to The Artist Rolls, episode 25. And this week, just in time for Halloween, we interview award-winning mystery and thriller author Alex Sokoloff, coming to us via Skype all the way from Scotland. Enjoy.
Are you at all familiar with Dungeons & Dragons or role-playing games?
I can trace my familiarity with Dungeons & Dragons back to Berkeley.
Mm-hmm.
And Jamie will appreciate this story because we both went there and that's how we know each other. But my first year at Berkeley, I was in one of those dorms, and it's all very communal at Berkeley. We had 25 people on the floor, men and women. We did everything together. We loved each other. We went to museums and shows and concerts, loved each other, all 22 of us. And then there were these guys at the end of the hall. These guys and their friend. And I knew they were computer science majors. Mm-hmm. And I knew their names, but I didn't know which names attached to any of them. And they just never came out of their rooms in the weekend.
Huh.
They stayed in there doing God knows what with junk food, like the trash would pile up outside. And I was really young when I went to Berkeley. I was just 16. And so it took me a while to ask everyone, what's the deal with these guys? And everyone said, oh, they're into Dungeons and Dragons. And I thought, well, that doesn't really answer my question now, does it? But years later, I saw The Big Bang Theory.
Oh my gosh.
And then I thought, I get it. It did answer the question.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And one of the first things we're going to do then is we just ask people to write their name at the top of the form under character name.
Well, because all of this is so taking me back to my theater days at Berkeley, I would have to go postmodern, like Pirandello and Wilder, and say I'm the writer.
Oh, very clever.
Oh, very good.
The archetype. Yeah.
Yeah, because honestly, my job is to play so many characters that mm-hmm. it's very unuseful to choose just one. Mm. I have to have a point of view that's outside of those characters. So.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
Hey, this is cool. What a great question.
What we're going to do is have you roll a four-sided die, which we actually have here.
We have here.
And what we're going to do is have you come up with your motto that will be the number of words that we roll on this die, which should be the number of words plus one. I think we need to do a D4 plus one, but that's for another.
D5?
No, D4 plus one is different from a D5.
Oh, right. I see what you're getting at.
You haven't read your Dungeons & Dragons books recently.
I have no idea
D4
what
plus
I'm doing.
One.
All right.
You got a...
One.
One. See, because then you give them a two-word motto.
Okay, yeah, the two-word motto, and it's your either your life motto. It could be, in a positive sense, your epitaph. So you, there's a positive. So we're gonna have you think of that, and we're gonna introduce the show, and then we'll come back and hear what your motto is.
Welcome, everybody, to The Artist Rolls, a new perspective on creators and creating. I'm Sean Mitchell.
And I'm Jamie Gower. And with us today is the hugely talented Alex Sokoloff, an author of the Huntress FBI thrillers, the Haunted Thrillers, the Keeper Paranormal series, and Screenwriting Tricks for Authors, which is a series of workbooks and seminars and whatever that I've used and I have recommended to many, many people. So Alex, thanks so much for joining us today from across the pond.
I'm thrilled to be here meeting, seeing Jamie for the first time forever.
Yeah.
Literally decades.
Cool. So what have you got for your motto?
Well, if I have only one word, I would say dream.
Dream.
Ooh.
Yes, which is very important in my work and in my life. So when you said the tombstone thing, I said
epitaph. I didn't go straight to tombstone.
Tombstone, it would be dream.
Dream.
But I could give you the two-word one, too, which would be totally different.
Oh, really? Tell us the two word.
Well, the two word one would be productive philosophy, which is what Aristotle called art. And I always thought that was an amazing way to look at what you do as an artist, because especially as a writer, you are creating product. And that is philosophy, but it is product too. And because this has been my living for literally all my adult life, mm-hmm. if you count adult as I do, which is a few years past college anyway, I've been making a living at writing, and which is an amazing thing. But the way that I've been able to do that, I think, is to think of it as productive philosophy and not just philosophy.
Wow. Those two mottos seem very different to me. How do they relate to one another?
Well, because dreaming, I think, is the meta of what you're trying to do with productive philosophy, and it is the one word that describes writing. You have to create a dream, and then you have to communicate a dream to your readers, or if you're writing a screenplay, to your audience. Whatever you're doing, you have to, when you work in narrative, you're creating a dream and communicating a dream. Hmm. And then you also have to have the dream to just keep going, because it's such a wretched day-to-day life.
So is it sort of the conception to the reality? Because dream feels very birthy, and productive yeah. philosophy feels very earthy.
Productive philosophy is how you get the dream onto mm-hmm. paper and get it into the world, I guess.
Yeah, so. Yeah. We're going to move on to the second section of our character sheet, which is the roles roll. Okay. We are going to take a D8 and a D10, and we are going to give them a roll.
All right.
Go ahead, Jamie.
Rolling for you, Alex. Let's see.
6 and a 4. That makes 10. You get 10 points for your roles roll. And what we're going to ask you to do is to divide those 10 points among the categories you see on the form: studio artist, performer, writer, director, producer.
Well, that's pretty easy. I would go 2.5 for performer, writer, director, and producer.
It's good.
You don't get 2.5.
We do say whole numbers only.
Whole numbers only.
Yeah, you're the second person who's tried to do that.
Okay. All right. Then you're talking about math, which is not one of my roles.
See, and again, artists always complain about math.
They
it's only 10
do.
Points.
All right. I'd say...
You have fingers.
Writer and director, I'd say 3 points each, and performer, producer, 2 points each.
Now, writer makes sense to me.
Yes.
What is it that what gets the bump on director?
Well, when I was a screenwriter, uh-huh. I was just writing, and then a director would come in and make the film, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people go into the whole process of filmmaking. When I snapped, basically, when I was a screenwriter and just knew that I had to do something more creative and take control of my life, mm-hmm. When I started writing my first novel, basically, I realized that I knew how to do it, except for the one thing that you don't do, which is voice, in a novel. And really what I realized is that I could direct onto the page. Hmm. And that's what I do. My first draft is as a writer, but then I start to direct it and perform it and score it and production design it and all of those things that the collaborative process of filmmaking taught me. And mm-hmm. also being a theater person as well, I was a director and producer and performer for a mm-hmm. while there, taking all of those and playing all of those roles when I write. So I really think directing is just as much what I do as writing. And I would say performing is almost up there. I gave it a little less, but you have to play all the roles of all your characters. You have to do that method acting kind of thing.
Yeah.
Feel mm-hmm. it. So yeah, those are things that I have to do all the time. And I'm so grateful that I had the theater experience to be able to do all of those fluidly.
How much do you step back and actually give voice to these characters? Do you stand up and say, you know, here's what this character is going to say, and I'm going to say it like I think that character would say it?
It's an interesting thing with characters that at first you play them, but you're only treading water until they come in and start doing it for you. Hmm. Character, and a lot of writers will tell you this, authors will tell you this, that character is something different. They seem to exist apart from you. And once you have to create the space as a producer, I guess, for them to come in and play, and you have to sort of attract them with the lines and the roles and the things that you're sort of struggling to find, but suddenly the character will be there and you're not writing for them anymore. It really, you're just taking dictation. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very odd thing, mm-hmm. And wonderful, but you're just lost until that starts to happen. And then when it does, it doesn't even feel like you're working.
We're going to move on to section 3 of the character sheet. It's mm-hmm. the mediums role. And again, we will roll that D8 and D10 for you. And you get 11 points. And again, dividing those points up into those mediums, you see, and this is where your work is encountered. And so live, video, audio, physical, again, that's the thing, that's the sculpture, painting, and print, web. And I imagine a good chunk of your exposure is in print and web.
Yeah, I would say 10 points to that, really. Mm-hmm. And I would only say audio 1%, because I have an audiobook of Huntress Moon, the mm-hmm. first in the Huntress series, and the next two books will have audiobooks in January.
Okay.
And Huntress Moon is something that I self-published first when I realized that I could make more money and reach more readers doing it at the time than mm-hmm. I could with traditional publishing. There was a gold rush kind of going on a few years ago with self-publishing.
Yeah.
So I took a big chance, and instead of taking another traditional publishing deal, I studied all my friends who had done well at it and then self-published that book, and to a really best-selling success. It was great. I wrote the second one, Blood Moon, and then Amazon came knocking and said, we'd like to publish you.
Yeah.
So, oh, wow.
Which is how this works these days. So, mm-hmm. But I had sort of self-produced through their ACX program, mm-hmm. The first audiobook, and was amazed at what an income stream it suddenly was. This only came out a month and a half ago, something. Yeah, you guys should know about it. I think all writers should know about it, that audiobooks are big, big business now.
I want to ask him, I know that you've got another kind of little mini empire going with Screenwriting Tricks for Authors. And I saw that you're doing seminars for that.
I do workshops. Yeah.
Do workshops. So how large a chunk of your time are workshops and conferences and that kind of thing?
Well, conferences are always a huge chunk of authors' time. It staggered me when I moved from screenwriting to writing books, how, especially with the genres, the thriller genre, the mystery genre, mm-hmm. The romance genre, also sci-fi. They're huge conferences. Readers really want to see you and talk to you, and you do a lot of your business at these conferences. So, so that is big. And I realized that and everyone wanted me to teach screenwriting, which I thought would be immoral, basically, because you can't make a living as a screenwriter unless you live in Los Angeles. Yeah. And unless really, and that's what screenwriting teachers usually don't tell you. Mm-hmm. So I said, I'm not going to teach screenwriting, but I will teach story structure and how you can very easily use the secrets of screenwriting to make much better books, make the process easier and deliver books that are more suspenseful and more filmic and deeper, all by using movies as examples. So I do that at conferences, and they pay me to do it, which means that it's a nice, you know.
So we got one live, one audio, and 9 on print web. That makes perfect sense.
You've reached the halfway point of the artist roles, and we'll be back in a minute with Alexandra Sokoloff. Hey, do you want to see what our guests write on their forms? Head on over to our website at theartistroles.com for graphics from all our interviews. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook, and you can subscribe on iTunes and the Windows Store. Come say hi and tell your friends about The Artist Roles. We are back with Alex Sokoloff, and we're moving on to section 4 of our character sheet, which is style.
Style.
Alex, on that graph there, you will see 2 axes, from collaborative to solo and prepared to spontaneous. And what we'd like you to do is draw some sort of picture or points or whatever on this graph that represents your artistic life or your regular life, or
where are you, where are you going, where do you want to be?
Right, well, it is actually easy, because looking at this, one half of it was my screenwriting life and one half of it is my author life.
Interesting.
On the left hand side, collaborative is all about what screenwriting and theater was for me. And I would have to be both prepared and spontaneous, because there's a huge lot of control about screenwriting and also directing, but you have to, and that's when you're working with people, you have to be very prepared, but you also have to be spontaneous within the collaborative process, because you have idiotic suggestions flying at you from all corners all the time, and you have to spontaneously try to make some kind of order out of that. Huh. It's very improvisational.
Right.
And writing in general, when you're by yourself, is really both spontaneous and prepared. So I would go back and forth between those two qualities, spontaneous and prepared, for my screenwriting and theatrical life. Now I do, but collaboratively, and now I do that going back and forth between prepared and spontaneous as a solo artist.
All right, we will move on to section 5 of the character sheet, which is superpower. Now, there are 5 superpowers there, and we have 3 columns, and what you get to do is choose one in each of those columns. What is the one that you think, if you had this one, okay, so you have all of them, but what is the one that, if you had this one better, it would make you a better author?
Time control.
Mm-hmm.
Time control.
And in what way would that be helpful to you?
Well, in a very physical sense, as an author, I could live to be 100 right now, and I would not have time to write all the stories I already have in my head. I just couldn't possibly, and you think of new ones all the time. So it's, plus, you know, you get better at it. You can feel yourself getting better at it, and it's sort of sad that you don't have unlimited time to just keep getting better at something. Mm-hmm. You know, life is finite. That's the way it is.
So, yeah.
Yeah. So that's an easy one, not only for the physical thing of you need to manipulate time in story, but in your life, it would be great to manipulate it too.
Yeah. What is the one of those that somebody looking at you says, wow, the things that I find from her story or from her, it really feels like she is.
I don't know. That's a really interesting question. Of those five, what would people say that I have?
Mm-hmm. In a sense, it almost gets at why people like your books, right? What is the one thing that you do that makes people want to buy another Alex Sokolov book?
I think it would have to be telepathy then, because what I know that I do is really create a sensual experience for the reader, that they feel like, I hear this all the time from people who write in, that they're living it. They can smell things and feel things, and they feel the fear of it. Mm-hmm. You know, write really spooky books and suspense. I think suspense is all about the senses and sensuality and manipulating senses. So I think that I am able to figure out how to communicate those senses in a multisensory experience that is seamless and often terrifying.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. What is it that you bring to the work that distinguishes it in your mind?
It's such a toss-up between telepathy and hypervision. I think it is telepathy, but the way the Huntress series broke through was about hypervision, to show things in a different way that really makes people think morally, mm-hmm. as well as experience the story. So that sets me apart from other authors who are great at telepathy too. You know,
right.
Hopefully
mm-hmm.
we all have that to some degree, but maybe it's hypervision.
All right. Hey, Alex, so part of this podcast, we roll dice, as you've seen, and in Dungeons & Dragons, you roll dice, and so some of what happens when you're creating stories with Dungeons & Dragons is governed by luck, and our last question today is about luck, and do you believe in luck? Does it play a role in your life? That's, we want to know.
Well, I would be an ungrateful idiot if I didn't think that luck played a huge part in my life. Just being a woman, having been born in the US rather than in someplace else, allowed me to be a person, you know. I'm never unaware of that. I've lived in other countries. It's staggeringly lucky that I was born here. And beyond that, to have been born to parents who were really good and interesting people who taught me a lot, and to be born in California as well, where we're really told that follow your bliss and do what you love and the money will follow. And even when your parents say, you know, maybe not, We grew up with that as sort of, those are subliminal messages that we had. So that made it a lot easier. And then I think there's a lot of randomness to success in the businesses that I've been in. And I don't like to think about how random it is, but I also believe that your luck gets better the harder you work, as I think Val McDermid, that great thriller writer over here, Scottish thriller writer, says. So yeah, it's amazing how much luckier you get when you work hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't depend on luck the way that some people do. I don't make it I don't deify it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some people think that really controls a lot of things. I think that the more grateful you are for what you have, and the more you can still yourself to be intuitive for messages that are always there about what you could be doing and should be doing, the more you learn to listen to those and trust synchronicity, the more luck you'll have. But I don't always take my own advice, unfortunately.
Yes. Yeah.
guy's pleading with God, can I just win the lottery sometime? And he spends years, could I just win the lottery? And finally the heavens open a beam of light. This voice says, Meyer, give me a break, buy a ticket.
Okay.
So you have to buy a ticket.
That's true.
You have to put in the work.
Hey, Alex, we'd also like to give you an opportunity to plug whatever you want to plug.
Well, you can read about all of my books and on my website, alexandrasokoloff.com, with the very cool graphic, as Sean says. It's
beautiful.
It's a very beautiful website. And if you're into supernatural thrillers, I have some great ghost stories. If you are more into crime thrillers, the Huntress FBI series about a haunted FBI agent on the track of what may be a female serial killer. There are two books out in that series, and Thomas and Mercer is releasing all three of them as a binge read also in January, but you can get the first two now. Uh-huh. And if you get them now, they'll be considerably less expensive than they will be when they're released as the trilogy.
And which ones are available on audiobooks?
Huntress Moon is an audiobook. And there's actually an audiobook of one of my paranormal books that I've never listened to. That was a series that I forget that I wrote. It was a collaboration with friends of mine, and they're really great books. If you're into romance, it's a paranormal romance series. And there's an audiobook of that, Keeper of the Shadows, too.
Cool.
And my impression, too, is that you seem to do a really good and interesting job of keeping things fresh in terms of authors, offers and pricing on Kindle and whatnot. So if anyone's interested in your work, I really would encourage them to check out the website and check you out on Kindle, because they're going to find something they like at a price that they're going to love.
So, thank you very much.
That sounded great. Something you like at a price you're going to love. Oh, my God.
Beautiful. Beautiful, Jamie.
Yeah, well.
We'll put that up on your website. Do you want to do our little wrap up?
Do we have a wrap up?
No, you just say our guest today has been.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah, our guest today has been Alexander Sokoloff, author and author. Yeah, this is the problem with improv.
We've had a great time talking to you, Alex. Thanks very much for being on the show.
Thanks so much, Alex.
Fantastic. Well, this was really one of the more bizarre interviews I've ever done, but in a great way. It's really interesting to
Good.
Go this way.
Good. Thank you.
We really appreciate you taking the time.
Well, that's just about all the bits we packed into this MP3.
But we have a few left, so we can say thanks for listening. If you're new to the podcast, welcome.
And if you've been with us for a while, thanks for being the foundation of this podcast's growing audience.
And if you aren't listening to this podcast right now...
Wait, how would they?
Then we're sending you this psychic message. Join us. Join us.
Wait a minute.
Hear my thoughts, non-listeners.
Hang on.
What?
First, wouldn't it just be simpler to ask everyone who is listening to share this podcast with friends, families, coworkers, and random strangers on the bus?
Yeah, I suppose that does make sense.
And secondly, if you're gonna send a psychic message, you have to hold your hand up to your temple, like this.
Join us. Join us. Oh, hey, that works really well. Let me try that. Join us. Join us.
Yeah, that's right.
At theartistrolls.com. And as usual, and we tell everybody, if you think later you said anything, you went, ooh, that, I'd really rather that didn't go out. Just give us a call.
Tough. We're going to put it on anyway.
We'll make sure to highlight that.